You're now listening to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome, everyone, to the Movie Night podcast. I am TK Kelly, joined, as always, by my hilarious co-host, Mr. Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we bring in a special guest. We watch a movie. We talk about it. That's it.
Yes, that's what we do. And this week, we have a delightful guest, very special guest in my heart and mind. Someone I knew of. We were friendly, but now we're becoming closer. Even I think we may not be friends. I'm not sure. I don't know where we're at right now.
Wait,
but you see it on Black Jesus. She's a hilarious stand-up comic, and we do work together over at the game show. Funny You Should Ask. The very hilarious Vanessa Graddick is with us.
Hello.
What's up,
hello.
Vanessa?
Chilling. What's going on?
Not much. How's it going?
It's going all right.
Are you don't know if you and Dwayne are friends? That was an interesting role in.
I have a problem with the word friendly. Like, I don't. Yeah, were friendly. That makes it sound like it's something that will never be.
No, not like that.
Shutting it down.
I just meant
like you have
right?
to. He's very
five
aggressive.
Seconds into the podcast. Shutting it down. We're not friends. We're not friendly.
Like, we all right. We cool. But
that's what I meant. Though I meant like we would see each other in passing and. You know, mm-hmm. we knew of each other. We had mutual friends, but now we see each other daily because we're banging out these hilarious jokes.
Yeah, there we are. Okay, so we're
as long as we cleared up the co-workers.
Friendly co-workers,
friendly co-workers.
Yes.
Right now, I can go to work tomorrow with a whole new view on life. I get it. We're all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you can quit touching me, please.
No HR in Hollywood, guys.
There's no HR in Hollywood, yes.
Sorry. So, aside from being assaulted by Dwayne, how's everything going?
Everything's going great. just banging out these jokes, like he said, on Funny You Should Ask, which is a lot of fun, a lot of work, but a lot of fun. Just got back from Coachella early this morning.
How are you upright? I mean, that's...
A lot of tequila.
That is an endeavor. Like, that's a long-ass week. And you went for the whole thing?
I was there Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. That's not bad.
I'm too old. I can't do it. I was hot. There was, like, this layer of sand on me.
Oh, it seems like the worst place on the planet to me. Like, oh, you want to go spend a weekend watching a concert on fucking Mars? Like,
no!
It's just rocks and sand and hot, hot sun.
Then you're walking and people are just sleep on the floor. Like, I don't understand how they're at campsites and they're not showering. And I don't, even in my 20s, never.
Yeah, I feel like maybe like 18, you know, maybe I would have had like the, all right, I can do this. Like, I can party straight through this. It seems nuts. But did you enjoy it?
I had a good time.
First time?
It was my first time, probably my last.
Yeah.
Unless I'm going with Beyonce herself, I probably would just stay at the house and watch it stream and live.
Yeah, but right? Exactly. I feel like I always kind of regret not going because it's here and it's amazing, but I'm also like, yeah, I'll be all right.
You're all right.
Yeah.
You're good.
I like seeing concerts one at a time indoors. It's amazing.
You know, and then everything's so far apart, so you legit get a workout going from the different places. It's 113 degrees. I feel like I have all the sand from all of the deserts in my brain right now. It's ridiculous.
That is crazy. I heard that someone was stealing phones. Did you hear about that?
Oh, uh-uh.
On the radio, they caught a guy, and they thought he stole a few phones, and he had a big bag. He had 100 phones.
That's amazing. Just a sack of phones slung over his shoulder like Santa Claus.
And you know who it is.
But how do you get all the
20-year-olds just...
Oh, yeah. I don't imagine that's a hard place to steal a phone.
They had charging stations, too. So people were like plugging their phone
in. Oh, yeah, and then look away.
Going over there. Yeah, just reckless behavior.
Everybody's shit-faced. Yeah. I'm sure it's pretty easy to grab a phone there. It was me, guys.
How much was this weekend? I didn't know people were still stealing phones.
I know,
you can get
right?
them at 7-Eleven. You don't need to steal phones anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what's the resale. Yeah, like how do I don't know. It doesn't seem like a viable career choice.
Maybe he was taking out what is the element inside? Is it tungsten or something? Maybe he's, I don't know what it is.
Whatever.
What?
He was harnessing the tungsten to create a doomsday device.
I thought you were going to say something reasonable, like he takes out the SIM cards.
You know, he was melting it down for the tungsten.
What?
Obviously. I don't know. You might be right.
Actually have sex with real girls. That happened?
Wow.
Jesus.
We gotta do a caller thing where these girls can call in. And I actually... Well, you know, I do get lucky sometimes. But I'm a heavy sleeper, so yeah.
Dwayne calling back to something that happened off mic, right?
Right. I was like, they don't know what you're talking about.
We like
all.
To keep our listeners in the dark.
That's the way to do it.
That's all right.
So any like favorite acts stick out to you that you saw, or was it just so unpleasant that you couldn't?
It was a lot. I saw Kendrick. I got to see Future, Lady Gaga, and who else? I was over there for DJ Khaled. That was a shit show. It was so packed under that tent.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You can't even move. But I was surprised they didn't bring out like any special guests. I guess they did last weekend, but this weekend it was just who was there. So
yeah, whoever. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just get whoever is on the bill.
Okay. All
right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Second weekend, they're like, fuck it. Yeah. It's too hot. I'm not going back.
And I was mad because I feel like I wasted all of my drinking. Like, I had nice little cocktails. They were delicious, but I never got faded because I was
No, you can't.
I was sweating tequila.
That's, yeah. I've been to one 2-day outdoor concert that was really hot, and it was just throwing money away.
Yes.
Because you're just sweating everything out.
Then you go home, you don't have any money. You're like, what, my drink budget? But I don't. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's why people do crazy amounts of drugs at Coachella, I think, because they can't. They're sweating out all the alcohol.
Mm-mm. I wasn't taking no candy from kids. No. No, they're like, you want to try this gummy? Absolutely not. I do not. I got to go write these jokes on Monday.
You got to be responsible. Yeah, yep. I got a fucking job.
Mm-mm.
Child. That just seems like a place for kids to go nuts.
It is, and I didn't understand, like, Coachella fashion.
Oh, that.
I didn't know when you were supposed to wear a swimsuit with some lace and just walk out the house. I didn't understand that.
Oh, I see. Like a lace thing over the...
Just anything. Like, they had... It looked like capes stuck in the back of drawers. And that was... like
we're so out of touch.
I didn't understand it. I was like, where are your clothes? And I turned into the old woman. Like, pull your britches up. Wear your clothes, young lady. Keep it a surprise.
Yeah, I think the idea is, like, go there with 3 minimal articles of clothing and 90 pairs of sunglasses.
Yes.
And that's where it's
pretty
at.
Much. And a bandana for your face.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. They were naked with bandanas on their faces. I didn't understand it. And, like, my thighs touch, so I can't just have on a swimsuit walking around. I'd chafe the hell out of my thighs.
It sounds like you chaperoned Coachella.
I did. I chaperoned Coachella. You're welcome, parents. I got you guys.
Just really concentrated on hydrating the kids.
I did. I was giving everybody water.
She was the one who caught that phone guy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She brought him to justice.
Never again.
And well, it's interesting. That's, like, worth doing once, right? Like,
yeah.
Just
to say that
it,
I did
a
it.
Part of it, exactly. Mm-hmm.
To say I did it, I'm happy.
And, people must get lost. Like, I would hate to go there with someone, because even with a phone.
No, you can't. It was 130,000 people, so all the towers were like, it was hard to get service because everyone was using their phone for Snapchat and Facebook Live and everything else.
See, that's the, because if you go with someone, be close to them, because otherwise.
The whole time.
You lose them, and then you're like, oh, brother, where art thou?
I see what you did.
You do. Everybody sees what he did.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That is our movie for this week, and just a solid gold transition, if I may say so. It's from the year 2000, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Directed by the Coen brothers, starring George Clooney, John Turturro, Tim Blake Nelson, John Goodman, and Holly Hunter. What did we think of this movie?
I enjoyed it. I enjoy George Clooney a lot. I felt at one with his character because I am, as most women are, very into my hair products. So I understand struggle of the Dapper Dan. And you can't give yourself, you can't use other products. You have to use what you use for your grade of hair. And if that's not available, you got to put on a hat and work it on out. I haven't been to the store yet, so the hat is
Whose choice was this? Was this yours?
It's mine. Yeah. I just happened to see it, you know, on a Netflix thingy, the timeline or whatever. And I was like, yeah, that'd be good because I like the Coen brothers. And I really, again, same thing. Clooney is a guy that just he can anchor something. Like only certain actors can be like super silly or a world that's a different world, but still it's sort of grounded in something, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was thinking when I, on my way here, I was like, this whole movie is like really great bad acting almost, you know? If I could.
Yes.
It was very campy.
Yeah.
For sure. Slapsticky, goofy. Like, it's hard to pin down what this movie is. And, like, I'm always like, Coen brothers Yeah. Very hit or miss. I love some of their movies, and some of them I'm just like, I don't get it.
And they're from
I love
Minnesota,
this movie.
By the way.
This
is
such
that right? Oh, that makes all the sense in the world. Yeah.
This is like to me such an example of like how they can do something so unique and pull mm-hmm. it off. Like this, like you said, it's goofy. It's bad acting.
Right.
It's kind of all over the place, and they just make it work.
Yeah, and it's almost like. You really need super actors to pull it off.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you have to
like
be
they have
on
to
the
be
same page with them.
Great
too.
To be bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think this was the first movie that Clooney did with them, and he just crushed it. I mean,
yeah.
For what was put on him, because this is definitely a movie where if you switch out who plays that role,
done.
Could
it's
be a
done
very role. Different movie. It could easily not work at all. And, I got to give credit to them for knowing that, like, that's the guy.
Right.
We need to get him.
Absolutely.
Like, because he's perfect for it. And, mm-hmm. like you said, it's there's something about, like, that rare charisma where it's like you can be this ridiculously good-looking dude who also somehow is pulling off, like, getting belted in the face with half a tree by John Goodman. And, like, he pulls it off. He's,
yeah.
he's just great at it.
Right. And skirting that line of being smart and dumb.
Yeah.
Because he's
yes.
obviously smarter than
well,
the other
yes,
two.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yes.
But he's also completely full of shit.
Right, right.
And, like, he really embodies that guy who can talk until you forget he doesn't know what he's talking
right.
about.
Call him a jive turkey.
Jive turkey.
Jive turkey. Like, he talks so much to talk himself and you into it. I've dated a couple. You're like, he is really telling me something important.
Yeah. Right, really... He just keeps talking until uh-huh. you forget, like, oh, he's full of shit.
Yep.
And they just keep going along.
Beat
it.
You
keep
down
going
to
along
like,
with it. That was one of my favorite recurring things in this movie was where like he would even when he would have a real moment of clarity and be genuine mm-hmm. and then a second later he'd flip and be like I knew the whole time and
yep.
whatever like he's just very he's so good at doing that quick turn in
yep.
this movie where every time it starts to get real and serious they have a quick silly turn
mm-hmm.
and
oh,
you're
yeah.
right back
you're
to
like,
that
oh, yeah.
that
well,
great tone.
Or like even when he's like telling his wife like I get it now, everything's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like the guy she was going to marry what's his name?
Waldrop.
Yeah. He's all like, "Well, I'm going to go get the ring he had though."
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like,
a good time to buy it from him cheap.
Yeah. She's like, "What?"
No, she was ungrateful though. She was real
she was
ungrateful.
Great. She actually, Holly Hunter in this reminded me of her in another Coen Brothers movie that we did recently, or not recently, but Raising Arizona.
Yeah.
Where she just,
almost
she wants
character.
What
yeah.
she wants, and it's
absolutely.
Like, sorry, that's how it's going to be.
See,
you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to steal this kid, or you're
right,
going to have to go
right.
find
yeah.
my ring at
exactly.
the bottom of a lake.
And, see, normally,
and don't bring the wrong ring. I didn't say, I may have
I
put
said
it in the
it
drawer.
Might be.
I might not have put it in the
right,
drawer,
right.
but you're supposed to find it
that's
in
great.
The middle of the flood.
That's such like a perfect ending for those two, though.
Yeah.
Like, to have that be their last moment on screen where
yeah.
it's
right,
like,
right.
She doesn't give a shit that he just got hit by like a tidal wave.
He could have found him somebody
but
else.
From a story's perspective, like, since he's constantly bullshitting people, then,
mm-hmm.
like, from a karmic standpoint, he kind of needs to be with someone who, like, gives him no leeway.
Yeah,
yeah.
He won't put up with it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so I like that moment. The thing, like, usually when I'm watching a movie and a person is smart and dumb, it usually bothers me. Like, when John Goodman comes and the fact that he's slow on a take, Clooney is slow on a take
yeah.
that,
yeah.
you know, Goodman means, but it doesn't.
Clearly play,
right.
like, from the beginning.
From the very beginning.
And he seems like the kind of guy who is normally playing other people.
Right.
But Clooney
right.
totally just falls for it.
And
yeah.
and something about either the editing or directing or the acting, I wasn't bothered by that. Like, I wasn't bothered by, how come he doesn't see this? He's the one that's ahead of everyone else, but somehow he doesn't see this. He's, you know, even when Goodman is saying, I'm about to hit you and I'm sorry, he's like, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't get it,
big man. That part bothered me just a little bit.
Right, right,
that
right.
part, like, if you see a big dude coming at you with a whole tree, maybe you should move. Maybe you should put your sandwich down and get off the picnic.
Right, right.
That's probably my favorite scene in this movie because of the way it's shot. They genuinely make John Goodman
yeah.
look like a giant.
Huge,
and
yes.
it's so so well done and so seamless, and then they cut to a long shot, and it's like, oh yeah, they're just like, it's not any effects. It's just the way it's shot. They made him look so massive in that moment. Both of those guys are sitting on the ground. He's standing above them, reaching up into a tree, and just fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, he just beats the shit out of them, kills their frog.
Why did the frog? Like, who squished the frog?
He's a monster.
Like, just
he's like,
Pete.
Well, you know, this whole going along with the Odyssey.
Yeah.
That was definitely one of the moments where you really saw it. Uh-huh. Like, the Cyclops being this big monster just destroying them. It was unnecessary, maybe, but super funny. I don't know. You know, it was, I felt like moments like that, and even with the cows, like, normally in a lot of movies, like, that would be sad and, like, fucked up, but it was also, it was kind of just so slapsticky and silly.
Yeah.
That it was, like,
they actually
got
into trouble, but they had to recreate that for the animal rights people to be able to put the phrase at the end of the movie, no animals were hurt, because they didn't believe it. They thought it was too lifelike.
Oh, yeah.
They were really killing cows.
They were lighting up cows with a machine gun.
I was reading it on IMDb, and they were like, they really started giving them a hard time.
It looks good. I mean, also when the cow gets hit by the car, it looks very real.
And do these animal people know that we eat a million cows a day?
But it's different if you give them a massage first, then eat them. You can't catch them off guard.
And that was great, too, because he kept saying his name over and over again. You know, Nelson, Nelson, Nelson. Like, Babyface Nelson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes this movie is like, it borders on being a cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's okay, though. It's just...
Yeah,
I think
it
the
is.
Music helps a lot with that.
It is, like, very... it's like this old-timey hero's journey that... I think they sort of did a similar thing with Hail Caesar, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It didn't work for me in that movie at all. But in this movie, that repetitiveness of it, that, like, okay, here they move to the next scene, and they're going to meet some new character. And it was that this very Wizard of Oz fairy tale type thing. And it just works perfectly.
And they actually were saying that the part where they go take the KKK, take the Klan members' uniforms and have them in the bushes, that's supposed to be basically like the Scarecrow, the lion, and all that. That was kind of taken from that.
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
And there are a lot of things interwoven from Wizard of Oz as a Coen Brothers incorporated into the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it feels a lot like that. And I don't know, I always enjoy those journey movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get away with being cartoonish and over the top because it's really just a series of little movies happening all back to back. So, like, each new character they meet, it sort of resets the whole what's happened, and the whole movie kind of resets, which is why I think when I rewatch it, I never tend to remember everything about this movie.
That's a great point. And you can watch almost any scene, you can just drop in and watch it and enjoy it without
It's like, I mean, even by the end, you feel like you know a lot about, like, him and his wife's relationship, but you really don't see much of her at all. She shows up very late in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just these little pieces building up to it. And I feel like it's the cast carries it, too. Like, these three guys worked so well together that you allowed this big build to eventually what you kind of felt was probably the case the whole time, which was also very Wizard of Ozzy, was there is no treasure.
There is no treasure.
Sorry.
It's you getting your broad and your kids back, but we never knew.
Yeah. Right. But you don't mind it. Like, it's not like you, I think that's hinted at a lot. And you're like, oh, this guy's full of shit. So especially when was it set? Like in the 20s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he's got $1 million hidden somewhere.
Right? Like what are you going to do with your... I was like, $1 million? $1 million is a lot now. Are you sure it wasn't like 300 or something?
My bad. It was $300.
Right.
And John Turturro feels so bad because he had to tell them about the treasure.
Oh my God. He's so... I mean, he's fucking great. And I don't know if he's ever better than in Coen Brothers movies. He just like... They just know how to use
his
him.
Commitment level
perfect.
Is so high.
He's amazing. And Tim Blake Nelson, the third guy, who he's not nearly as big of an actor as the other two, but he just holds his own and he's super funny.
But he's always like, that one guy, remember? He was really
good. Yeah. He's in a lot of stuff. Yeah. Like, he's more of a character actor, but he's great. The cast, like, they always seem to just choose the perfect people to pull off these roles that it's like, oh, man, if I read this screenplay, I might be like, I don't know, is this going to work at all?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love the guitarist too. I guess he's supposed to be a player on Robert Johnson, maybe the blues.
Well, yeah, sort of. I actually read up on that for once because I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, he's Robert Johnson. Mm-mm. But apparently, that story that Robert Johnson told in that song is about another blues man, Tommy Johnson.
I see. I didn't know that. Okay.
So he just borrowed the story, and then I guess it
got
just over the years, it got wrongfully attributed to that he was the one who did that.
So he didn't go down to the crossroads.
No. Mm-hmm. No. So it was Tommy Johnson.
It feels like there was one guy who played guitar better than him, and he's like, well, he must have sold his soul to the devil.
Yeah.
It's the only logical.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
Also, I mean, now that you brought up Tommy Johnson, like, can we acknowledge what a fucking killer song that is?
Oh, my God.
It's catchy, and, like, it blows me away that song sort of caught on way more than the movie ever did.
Yep.
Like, I think in the long term, this movie got its due.
The soundtrack did very well.
Yeah. I remember distinctly, like, even just seeing the previews, and when you get, like, a little taste of the song, mm-hmm. Oh, what the fuck is that?
And
I think I downloaded this song off of, like, LimeWire back in 2001. Right. Like,
what genre would you say that song is?
I think it's, like...
Is it Western?
I think it's, like, country blues.
Bluegrass. Oh, blues.
Country blues.
Only because, I mean, I like... a lot of country songs, but just it you don't get that sound anymore.
It's definitely more bluesy, like it's more upbeat, and there's a lot of guitar going on.
Yeah,
there's
but it also sounds like the wailing comes from a place.
It's
like we were talking about before, Drake, who I like, how he just seems to, like, you know, generate power words. You know, like Google tells him these are the hot words trending, and he writes a song about it. Country's like that too now.
Yeah.
Now.
Yes.
But you hear something
sure.
like that, and you're like, oh, man.
I mean, you believe very easily within the world of the movie that, like, oh, yeah, of course that song blew everyone's minds.
Constant Sorrow is what's happening.
And it's just so well sung. I don't remember the name of the guy who sang the lyrics. I know me and Vanessa were talking about it earlier. I guess Clooney practiced for, like, weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't wind up using his voice.
They used it. I had Dan Tominski.
Dan Tominski. It's great.
Yeah.
It's
country blues,
it's like
singer,
very
Dan
soulful.
Tominski.
Like it's just awesome. I really, it gets stuck in my head.
Absolutely,
and I don't mind it.
You know, I tried to write we write trivia questions all day and jokes. Me and Vanessa, and I tried to write a question about the difference between country and country western, and I just couldn't nail it down. But it was because after watching the movie, I'm all weekend. I'm just sort of, I'm going to write a question about that.
So, and what did you determine the difference was like?
Well, first of all, I couldn't even lock down the actual terminology. I think they've changed, but
it's all so fluid.
I think country is simpler than Western, and like country is just sort of like guitar, harmonica. Western, I think they use more instruments and more electric guitar, bigger bands.
This was going to be a great joke. I can see it.
The joke was okay, because the joke was like something like, what's the difference between country and Western? And I was like, number of teeth, you know, something real basic.
Some real racist.
Right, whatever. That is what we do on Funny You Should Ask.
That's all we do.
If you want to beat a woman or be racist.
And it's just, like, I write for Tosh.0. I know writing the darkest, basest joke.
Yes. You just give it to a person from that group.
And then
that's how you get around it.
Yeah, for sure. let's get into these games.
Let's do it.
Got a little time left. We'll squeeze in some of our favorite games. With our old standby, we'll start make a drinking game. So, you don't have to actually play any games.
So, there's no
You
drinking?
Have to drink, right?
So, there's no drinking?
No, we didn't bring any
that
tequila.
That is the only reason I came.
Okay. So, make a drinking game out of this movie. Every time something repetitive happens, which there's a ton of in this movie, you take a drink. What do you think, Dwayne?
We're talking about the Tommy Johnson character. Mm-hmm. I just love how he keeps coming back in, and they keep going through these harrowing sort of things together. Maybe it's because he sold his soul to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think either every time he comes... every time he is on screen, or every time they have to, like, you know, try to not die together, you take a drink. Because I think he comes, and you're going to get a nice buzz. You're not going to get too messed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, he sort of becomes, like, the fourth musketeer.
Yeah. Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like he's in it more than any of the other characters, I feel like. Mine is every time they wake up to something horrible happening. That's like a recurring thing. Every time they go to sleep, every time they acknowledge them going to sleep, they wake up to something bad. Every single time in this movie. Which I think was something from the Odyssey, too. I think that was, right? Was that Odysseus? Like, every time he went to sleep, he woke up in some other... Yeah, if there's one lesson
stay
to take...
Woke AF.
If there's one lesson to take from the Odyssey, it's stay woke. Vanessa, what's your drinking game?
I think every time he said, damn, we're in a tight spot, shot immediately. Damn, we're in a tight spot, drink.
You're going to have to do, like, strings of five in a row.
Like, that's,
like, he just, yeah.
It's a good time.
That first time in the barn where they wake up. They wake up in the barn to the cops outside, and he says it, like, five times.
Back I was
to
like,
back.
He don't keep saying it? Okay. Well, right. That works for me.
Let's come up with a new Oscars category for this movie. So if it was nominated in a new category that it would definitely win in, what would that be? I'll start this one off. Mine is achievement in dirty face makeup.
Ah, damn it! I was in the same category.
You know what?
I feel like this movie was probably really fun, but also a huge pain in the ass. Like, this has got to be one of those movies where,
from a continuity standpoint,
and also where the actors are just like that was a fucking shoot. Like, that was work. Sometimes the like, actors talk about how hard work, and you're like, all right, chill out. You're acting. It's but. This is like they're in like swamps, constantly in the woods, filthy from head to toe throughout the entire movie. But George Clooney still looked good.
He looked still
amazing.
Look good.
Damn it.
Still
look
he looked
good.
Amazing.
Yeah,
still look good.
What do you think, Dwayne?
Mine is along the same lines, but I think basically the same thing with a little bit of a twist to it. Mine is the best skirting the blackface line and getting away with it.
Yeah. That's funny.
They're not technically in blackface.
No. But they're dark enough that, like, the KKK was like, what are you?
So you got a twofer on that because you're like, they're not in blackface. It was nighttime and they had to, you know, escape from prison.
I did think about that when they were like, they're Negro. No?
Right.
Yeah. That was really funny, too, the other governor candidate where he's like, he thinks they're all black for like a second, and then he goes, maybe mulatto. I don't know. There's something in there. I was like, I'm glad they acknowledged that they're clearly not black.
Right.
Like,
and I love that the song was so hot that he's in Mississippi and he's like, they're black. There's a black guy on stage, like, yeah, this is a hot song, though, you know?
Yeah, no, they don't give a shit. Everybody immediately turns on them. They're like, hold on, did you hear that track?
They're like,
we're fine.
Forget your racism.
We're gonna pardon them. We're going to put aside all of our racism. It's going to bring people together. Vanessa, what do you think? What's your Oscars category?
Most flammable hairstyle is what I'm going to go with for Clooney. Because that was a problem waiting to happen.
Oh, I can't believe it didn't at any point. Every scene that they're getting, the barn's being lit on fire, I'm immediately
knew he was going to walk out like Michael Jackson in a Pepsi commercial. At some point, it was going to happen.
Yeah, it was a thick pomade. He was always applying it. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't go up in flames.
Dapper Dan.
Happened.
Dapper Dan.
I like this little Dapper Dan stash, though. That looks like my bathroom. Like, all the products.
Yeah. Oh, I love when he sees his wife again. He's like, he smells the guy dating his wife.
Yeah.
You got on my hair?
Yeah, I thought he was like big timing him. And I remember like, oh, he's smelling the hair stuff. When he just goes up close and just smells him.
It's real in these streets.
It's a bold move, man.
Yeah.
It's a bold move. Let's go. I like this one. If you had to go on a treasure hunt with a celebrity, who would it be and why?
Yeah, it's tough. I wrote these questions, but it's really tough because I wrote down someone and then I just thought of someone else, right? But
with your heart, Dwayne.
Well, I wrote down Melissa McCarthy because she's funny. But also, I think...
Because that's what you want on a treasure hunt.
Exactly.
Because she's funny.
But I mean, a lot. No. She's going to get the job done. You're laughing along the way. But I think you can stand back to back in a bar and go. You know what I mean? If you need to go. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So you're talking about who you want in a bar fight.
Okay.
On our way to get the treasure.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's going to be a fight for
sure.
And then
what came to mind was DMX. But I'm like, I don't think DMX would
be DMX would be unreliable.
He would
slow you down.
What?
That, why did that come to mind? Just, that's like, who's the worst celebrity to take on a treasure hunt? I'm going to take DMX.
Yeah. No.
I totally get that.
Yeah. You're not going to make it.
It's, you know why? Because it's about the journey.
And you want a journey with DMX?
It'd be a story.
It'd be a journey. It would be a story.
Okay.
Now I'm second guessing mine. I'm just going to go with DMX. I went with Tom Hanks, and I don't know.
Ooh, nice.
I don't know if it's because of those movies,
the Dan Brown ones.
But I believe he could do it. I feel like he could decipher some shit.
Tom Hanks can do anything.
And also, yeah, he can do anything, and he'd just be a good travel companion.
Way to go.
I feel like him or DMX.
And he's not any character he played. He is Tom Hanks. So you could like also ask him about Splash.
Yeah. He's just himself. Tom Hanks is the best version of Tom Hanks around. Vanessa, who do you think?
Let's see. I think Nicolas Cage.
Oh, that's funny. That was my
list too. Knows about treasure.
Yes. Exactly. Nicolas Cage. I think I'm pretty sure that we'd be able to get the treasure. He's good at talking his way out of situations. Yep. He has the gift of gab.
Nice.
So he'll get in some troubles.
Yeah. I think he's a good choice.
Yeah.
And during some downtime, you can ask him about some of his movie choices.
Yeah. He's a little crazy.
You know, he has a little crazy. He's not as scared to get hit.
I also feel like he's just crazy enough to take a treasure hunt as seriously as anyone possibly could.
That's true.
Absolutely. He would find that shit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's squeeze in this last one before we shut it down. Let's rename it. So real quick, Dwayne, what do you think?
Okay, real quick, I didn't come up with anything that changes the tagline or the new title. I said sing like no one's listening, you know, cause I think the key to this is these guys sang their heart out for no commercial gain.
Yeah.
And then it came
back. They sang for like whatever they were going to get paid that day.
Right.
It is always very funny to me too how like it's so forgivable that they're just amazing singers.
Yeah.
You just totally buy it. Yeah. You're like, yeah, sure, whatever. That's awesome.
Well, the guy said he sold his soul to the devil, too, the Tommy Johnson. That helped.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even at the end when they come out for the wedding, like, they just immediately start
just
killing it. They're great. Mine is Failing Up, A Stooges Odyssey. This movie felt three Stoogie in a lot of moments.
Absolutely.
Or like Laurel and Hardy, like very much like in search of this one thing and just all the shit that happens to them along the way.
I think you guys got it. Three Stooges, Wizard of Oz, The Odyssey.
Yep.
Vanessa, close it down for us.
I'm a rock with Soggy or Die. There was always, outside of the Soggy Bottom Boys, there was always water. There's the baptism. Yep. There's the finding his new life through the flood. There's so much.
Right.
There's so many water references.
Oh, yeah.
If they wouldn't have got wet, they wouldn't have got nothing.
They were at least damp that whole movie.
The whole movie. Yep. Absolutely.
It was a real damp set.
Right. And it goes back to what you said. It was like a difficult shoot.
Yeah.
In dirt. They're wet.
The entire time.
Dirt on their face the entire time. Yeah.
I think that does it.
Well, all right.
That's it. Vanessa, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Tell everybody where to find you online, all that sort of stuff.
All social media, I am Vanessa Graddick. So VanessaGraddick on everything. I'm easy to find.
Check her out, guys.
DwaynePerkins.com is the website. FunnyDP, the Twitter handle. And mainly in L.A. doing the damn thing. So holla at your boy.
Check them out. I'm at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, April 28th, I'll be in Vegas. Come check out my show if you're in town, or I'll be in San Diego in May. We are at Movie Nightcast on Twitter, so check us out. Throw us some movie ideas, some new game suggestions, anything you want to suggest, guys. We're getting a lot of input from people recently. It's been great helping us pick new movies that we haven't thought to do, so keep it up. Vanessa, thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Tune in next week, guys.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @ Movie Night Cast. You can also find them online by going to thenetworkstudios.com. Until next time, bye-bye.